Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel in Luke chapter 16. Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and he recounts these words between Abraham and the rich man. Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." This is God's word. So every now and then, a text from the Bible sort of annoys you. It just maybe hits you at the wrong time, but then maybe that actually means it's the perfect time for it to hit you. This text irritated me this week as I began to think about preaching on it. And yet, the problem's all with me. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with the text. It's Christ. It's his word. The word is perfect. It's infallible. The problem's with me. Here's why it was a problem for me. Because in this reading, in this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is contrasting, pitting against each other, a rich man and a poor man. He's striking the contrast between the two. And I don't know if you can relate to this or not. I am sick and tired of the contrasts of people against one another. I am sick and tired of hearing about black and white, poor, and I guess we'd say those who haven't been impacted by economic hardship. I'm tired of the strain between Republican and Democrat. I'm tired of the strain between those who take safer at home to its most extreme conclusion and will go nowhere, and those who flaunt their liberty to go out and do whatever they want recklessly without regard for others. I'm tired of the contrast. Maybe you feel the same way. And yet, I heard that laugh, Brent. Brent knows what I'm talking about. I think the rest of you do too. And yet, God's word has a way of coming to us at the perfect time. Because here, Jesus shows us the one contrast that truly matters. You know, we tend to think of the difference between heaven and hell as the difference between good people and bad people, but that's not it. And you might look at this text and think it's about the difference between the rich and the poor. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. And the poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. But that has something to do with it. The question becomes, where do you put your trust? And where do you find your comfort? You have this rich man who says is living sumptuously, feasting sumptuously, clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple linen was a sign that you were a person of wealth and great riches. This man has everything. He's living in the lap of luxury. And yet, not a bit of it could he take with him to heaven. None of it served him any good when it came to his eternal welfare. We read of him being sent to a fiery torment in Hades. By contrast, Lazarus, now I want you to be clear here, this isn't Lazarus who was raised from the dead by Jesus in John 11. This is a different Lazarus, a character named Lazarus in a story that Jesus is telling. We don't know if it's true or if it's fictional, but Lazarus is a poor man. This guy is pathetic. He's covered head to toe with sores, probably leprosy. The dogs come and lick his sores. What a disgusting picture. He longs to eat the food that falls from the rich man's table. Even the crumbs on the floor would be enough for him. You have on the one hand a man in the lap of luxury and another guy who's broke as a joke, who has nothing. And yet their eternal rewards could not be more opposite. The poor man, Lazarus, is carried by angels to the side of Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel. He rests at the side of Abraham. He's comforted. He has peace from all his laboring and hardship on earth. The opposite of what the rich man gets. The rich man put his trust in his earthly wealth. He found comfort in his earthly happiness. Lazarus had no earthly happiness to comfort him. He could only put his hope in what God's word had stored up for him. When you hear Jesus tell a parable, and you may have heard me say this before, one of the things you do when you try to interpret is try to find yourself in it. How does this, where am I in here? Who are the different characters in the parable? Okay? And all of us should find a point of reference with that rich man who put all his hope in earthly things. And we need to start by first realizing every one of us here is rich by biblical standards. Okay? You might be thinking to yourself, oh, I'm not rich. I'm having money problems. I haven't been working since the pandemic hit. Or, you know, maybe there's, you're living paycheck to paycheck, week to week, just trying to make it by. No, this is biblical wealth. If you had a roof over your head last night, if you had a vehicle that got you here, I mean, the Bible doesn't even have vehicles in it. If you had a roof over your head, and you know where your dinner tonight is coming from, you are rich. Every one of us will probably go home, and I bet every one of us in our house probably has a can of chicken soup or something in our pantry, or a pack of ramen noodles, or a box of pasta or something. It may have been there since 1986, but you have it, and you know that you have food if you need it. That's wealth by biblical standards. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, it was to people who woke up not knowing where their bread would come from that day. We are not poor by biblical standards. We are wealthy. Now, that's not to shortchange. There may be some unhappiness or discomfort or some real problems that you're going through. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? That we want to put all our hope and trust in the things of this world. We think if the right guy gets elected in November, or if the right vaccine comes along for COVID-19, or if we can just put a stop to racial tension in the cities, or if we can just do X, Y, or Z, then everything will be better. What a lot of nonsense we have bought into. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you what God is trying to accomplish through these last few months. When every time I turn on the news this morning to find out Atlanta is being burned down. I didn't know anything was going on in Atlanta. I mean, I knew there were protests all around the country. Every single time I turn on the news, it's something bad. It's something else. And I'm left wondering, what is this world coming to? Well, God forgive us for thinking that this world would ever satisfy us. What fools we are. What a fool I've been for thinking that. And maybe you can relate to it as well. The reality is, this world will always disappoint us. And as I was going to say, I am not a prophet. I can't tell what God has in mind by all of this happening right now. But I do know he is teaching us that we love this world too much. We have loved this world far too much. And it lets us down. How can it not? It's a fallen world. When you put your hope in the things of this world, the only thing that awaits you is what awaited the rich man. Now contrast that with Lazarus, the poor man. The poor man who had heard God's word throughout his life somehow, either from his parents or through teachers that he saw walking past that he stopped to listen, he heard Moses and the prophets. He heard God's promises that there is a God who loves his people and gives riches to those who are poor. It is no accident that we begin every single Sunday saying the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." Because even though we may have earthly wealth, spiritually, we are poor. We are broken. We have looked for hope and happiness in a world corrupted by sin, and it has let us down. We have contributed our own sin, our own failings, our own weakness, our own evil and wickedness to the cause. We are spiritually broke. Thanks be to God that Jesus came to heal the sick. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, Jesus said. And we are the sick who have looked for happiness in this world and come up short, come up disappointed. And so God, through his word of comfort, comforts us in the same way that he comforted Lazarus. He comforts us with the good news of Jesus Christ and his death for us, where Jesus becomes our righteousness. In our Old Testament reading today, we heard about Abraham. We hear about Abraham throughout our hymns today and our readings. And God had made a promise to Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the heavens. And we read that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God was his righteousness because he trusted in God's promises. That is the only thing that gets you in to the gates of heaven, into the kingdom of God, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He lived for you, died for you, rose for you, was the holy, perfect sacrifice for you. And you are covered in his blood. You are covered in his righteousness. It is a fine robe, better than the purple and fine linen that the rich man wore. We are clothed in robes of white, the book of Revelation says, covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the one who is holy in our place. And therefore, all the riches of heaven await us. We sang a hymn right before the sermon, one that's a little bit difficult to sing, but it's considered by some to be the greatest hymn of the Lutheran Reformation. "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart." And it was written in the 16th century, in the early days of the Reformation, by a pastor named Martin Schalling. And he was a pastor in Germany, and he wrote this hymn because he was pastoring a church during an outbreak of the Black Death, bubonic plague. And that was a pandemic that sprung up at periods throughout history, I mean, for over a period of centuries. And as he was overcome by death and suffering, and people in his church who were beaten down by this world and losing hope, he wanted to write a hymn that would speak to those people. And that last verse, verse 3 of the hymn, mirrors what we read in the gospel from Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. "Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abraham's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. We really have very little guaranteed to us in this life. Some days are easy, some days are hard. Some days it's easy to see the blessings of God, some days it's a struggle for us. Some days we have great hope for the future that lies in front of us, and other days we feel hopeless. But through all of it, whatever comes, Jesus Christ is your righteousness. And you, like the poor man Lazarus, can die unfearing. We have no fear of death, because what awaits us, what God has stored up for us, is so much better than what we have here. And it is that hope and that promise that sustains us and comforts us in this daily life. I often wonder how the martyrs of the church, how the apostles who were by and large put to death for confessing Jesus Christ, how did they do it? How could they suffer anything, whatever came? How did they not lose hope? They knew their hope was not in this world. They took comfort in the word of God that promised them riches for eternity. That same promise holds for you. We are forward-looking people. We look beyond this world. That's not to say don't care about who gets elected in November. It's not to say don't care about the violence. It's not to say don't care about do they find a vaccine to COVID-19. It's not to say we shouldn't have concern about the economic needs of people. It is to say, don't be surprised when this world leaves you wanting. It always will. But this world is not all there is. Thanks be to God. All the riches of heaven are yours, because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.